Congressman Bishop didn't have the parole file, and Senator Britt didn't have the parole file, and now we do have the parole file. And now we all know that the reason he was paroled into this country was because lack of detention capacity, which, as you and I both know, is not a valid reason under the statute. And now that we know that for sure, this is right out of the parole file. Here it is. Subject was paroled due to detention capacity at the Central Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Now, suddenly, you don't want to talk about it. This is extraordinary. It's also a pattern with you. So, let me just try one more time. Have you read the parole file?
Senator, I'm going to give the same answer, and let me say it.
Well, which one? Are you going to give me the answer you gave to Senator Britt? Are you going to give the answer you gave to Congressman Bishop, or the answer you gave to Senator Paul, or do you want to try a fourth one?
Senator, I will not speak to the particulars of the case, given the pending criminal prosecution.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, you certainly, of course you don't want to, because it is an absolutely damning indictment of your policies. Let's just review Ibarra, and how he came to be here. On September the 8th, 2022, he was encountered by United States Border Patrol in El Paso, Texas, and was paroled into the United States due to lack of detention capacity. A provision, a proviso, a rule that is not permitted under the statute. You and I both know you know this. You knew it when you were talking to Congressman Bishop. You knew it when you were testifying to Senator Britt, and you know it today. You just never wanted to cop to it because the statute doesn't permit it. And so you lied to Congressman Bishop, and you lied to Senator Britt. And now you are hiding behind the ongoing prosecution excuse because it's the last one left to you because you testified falsely under oath.
You know, I kind of feel like Kermit drinking tea right now, listening to this. I mean, I'm just sitting over here going, Except it's the Tactisquatch. It's not actually tea. That was Senator Josh Hawley, because the Mayorkas thing, golly, we got some stuff to cover because the Senate. Yeah, they kind of had a little bitty bit of a meltdown yesterday. And that's, you know, they because this. How do I put it? Impeachment. Yeah, they've rejected the impeachment articles. They've rejected it. They've dismissed it without trial. That's the top story today. Dismissed without trial. And I mean, we've got a lot of audio of some of these senators losing their... Mitch McConnell was unhappy, and he really doesn't express unhappiness quite often. This was audio soundbite 12. Listen to this.
The Senate will be in order. Would senators please take their conversations to the cloakroom?
Madam President, we've set a very unfortunate precedent here. This means that the Senate can ignore, in effect, the House's impeachment. It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have in effect ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial. That no evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good news is that they can just, if the Republicans, you know, capture the Senate, which I don't have a lot of optimism about right now, then what? Then they can just dismiss they can dismiss it too, right? That's how it goes, right? They can just dismiss it too. The Dems de rules, guys. So it's been, I love how the word scuttled has been thrown around. It's been scuttled, this impeachment, the impeachment articles, and that was officially Senator Cortez Masto who did it. He was facing these, Mayorkas was facing these articles of impeachment based on the fact that he just literally doesn't do his job. I mean, is that actually a point of contention with anybody? The dude doesn't do his job. Can you look at the border and say, yeah, looks like a good job there, Mayorkas. Well done, sir. Here's a coupon. Why don't you hit you up a Fuddruckers? That doesn't even exist anymore, right?
I think they still do.
No, they don't.
No?
I don't know. Isn't it like a buffet burger?
Yeah.
I hate buffets. I get real weird about it. That's a long story. First off, welcome to the show, though. Before we get further, Dana Lash with you, top of this first hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program terrestrially. We're number one in the afternoon, 12 to 3, number one.
Yeah.
And you can also check us out, the simulcast of the radio program. You can check out all my good hair days. And I wore brown today. That's my version of color. That's not black. I did that for you. So you didn't think I owned the same black shirt. I own five of them. Same shirt. I literally buy in bulk. Bought it off Amazon. I'm not even going to lie and act like I'm fancy. Anyway, this shirt came off Amazon too. So anyway, long story short, it's like $12. I'm not kidding you. Anyway, long story short, welcome. You can also find us on X, Rumble, everywhere. Find us on everywhere. And Substack, Chapter and Verse, because there's a lot of good stuff that comes out there. And I know you're gonna wanna follow along. So that clash. So it's kind of done. I mean, you know, but you cannot do your job though, and it's okay. I mean, we see Biden, we see the administration. It's not like it's a, you know, you don't have to do your job and it's all right. That's completely all right. So now in the House, now that this is happening, Johnson's decided he's going to be moving to foreign aid. I mean, I was compiling the headlines for today and I was looking, I'm going to scroll down here. Now he's facing another threat to oust him as speaker because of this foreign aid. This is all coming up Friday now. And this is not going to go well for him if he pushes this. And it's something that he shouldn't do. I liked his idea of taking everything and separating it, but that still didn't satisfy. Look, there's no point. You're going to get somebody even worse than Johnson if you switch him out. Hell, you might get Hakeem Jeffries if you switch him out. I think Republicans in the House need to stop this nonsense. It's not going to happen for you. Y'all don't win enough seats to be doing this stuff. Now, wait a minute. For some of the voters go, that's right. You don't win enough seats. Y'all vote for them. Some of y'all listening voted for some of these weak people that are in the House. So I'm just saying, ain't nobody not culpable here. You got to win more seats. They can't be doing this because they're not winning enough seats. They're literally not winning enough seats to do this. This is silly that they're actually still considering switching this out. I mean, there is literally nobody. If you thought they didn't have a plan B before Kevin McCarthy, buckle up, because they sure as hell don't have a plan B this time. And it even seems like half-hearted, because at least with McCarthy, there was personal animus there. There was Matt Gaetz who was mad because of the ethics investigation. So that doesn't make sense to me. Then none of that makes sense. But now this $95 billion aid package, it's the triple package for both for all Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. There's $4 billion to replenish the Iron Dome defense system. I will say we do benefit from that tech because it is a lot of shared tech and we do benefit from that. So there is a benefit. And also it's our literal only ally in the Middle East. And I'm really sure that you don't want to see Iran get a toehold, right? Just take over our only ally there in the Middle East. So there's with Ukraine, though, I can't tell you a single damn thing we get. At least, you know, at the bare minimum, at least we get some tech sharing and we are, you know, there's an ally there. I get the geopolitical importance of it. But as it pertains to Ukraine, I mean, I don't know. What do we get out of that? Wheat? That's just Europe's wheat, isn't it? Everyone's like, it's the breadbasket of the world. We grow our own wheat.
What do we get out of it, or what does our government in the shadows get out of it?
No, like we the people.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
Guess I thought, yeah. They're going to have Democrats pass this. There's no way this aid package passes with just Republican votes. They're absolutely going to have Democrats to help pass it. And you know what that means? Concessions. In order to get those Democrats to agree to pass this, Johnson's going to have to grant some concessions. And that's going to further tick off Republicans, not just in the House, but also in the Senate, because they're mad in the Senate already. And now you have this that's been tabled. It's just all a giant mess. It's a giant mess. And I need Republicans are a little I also don't want them to overreact in the response to this. Some people are saying that Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing that. She proposed some amendments yesterday, including and this one I actually don't, you know, I know some people are trying to jump on her for it. She was saying that any member of Congress who votes to send aid to Ukraine, and this is from her site. For congressional site, must enlist. You have to be conscripted to go and fight for Ukraine if you're going to vote for it. It's literally what it says. Any member of Congress who votes in favor of this act shall be required to conscript in the Ukrainian military. And eligible lawmakers can have their choice of service branch. Now, some people are like, oh, I thought this was a joke. Actually, I don't think so. I think it kind of showcases a very good point here. So Johnson, you know, he's trying to separate this. I understand the opposition to support for constantly sending hundreds of billions of dollars over to Ukraine. The fourth thing that he was going to bring, apparently they did add some border language to this, is this border language and border and sanctions proposal. That's the fourth thing, because you have, as I said yesterday, the three bills, and then you have the fourth item that they're wanting to bring up. And I understand some people are saying this is just her bomb throwing. Yeah, you know what? And she's making a good point with us. I am simultaneously a somewhat partially reformed hellraiser and also a total cynic who hates drama. And I don't like the political theater that Con Inc. and wannabe Con Inc. have been engaged in dragging the rest of us into. But I think that this highlights a very good point. And that's ultimately what it is. I mean, you do believe in absurdum ad absurdum. I mean, you using absurdity to highlight absurdity. I mean, there's a point in this, and I think that's what her point is. And maybe perhaps it goes over some of the more serious people's heads. I'm not quite sure. But you can't seriously sit here and tell me that another proposal for hundreds of billions of dollars, more billions of dollars to Ukraine is a serious proposal, and expect that to be treated with the seriousness you think it deserves. It's absolutely absurd, and it should be ridiculed with a proposal like this. I have no objections to this. None at all. None at all. So that's, and you know, honestly, she still has support of her district, so clearly it's what her district wants her to do. Republicans are still split with regards to this, and all this is coming to a head tomorrow, y'all. They're still split with regards to this aid to Ukraine, and Ukraine hasn't been transparent on how a single dime has been spent. And honestly, I don't feel prevailed upon to send any more money over to Ukraine without them being honest and transparent about how this money is being spent. I feel zero obligation. It's not my fault that they're being opaque about this. It's not my fault that there are accusations of spending it on pensions and everything else. How, pray tell, in the ever-loving hell, is it the fault of the American taxpayer who's already overtaxed, living in an era of Bidenflation, worried about affording the basic necessities, worried about paying their bills, keeping a roof over their head, worried about AI and everything else, the instability at the border, plus beyond? How is it their fault that their overtaxation and the money stolen from them and their concern for it, how is it their fault for demanding answers as to how those dollars are spent? It's Ukraine's fault for not being transparent. So pox on them. We have more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. And as we do, partners for this hour of the program, our friends over at Ready Wise, make sure you're always prepared so that you never have to worry about where your next meal comes from, heaven forbid, if there's a natural disaster or anything else. And being prepared is super, super important. And so when you partner with ReadyWise, you are supporting not only American jobs, but you're getting high quality, premium U.S. food packed at their U.S. state-of-the-art plant. And it's meals at the ready. Whether it is a sudden storm, a power outage, supply chain disruption, or whether you just want to go hiking or hunting or whatever, you got peace of mind knowing you have meals on hand to feed your family. They have an emergency one-month supply right now. A two-bucket bundle includes 36 pouches of premium food. Plus, you get 2,000 calories plus, to over 2,000 calories, and over 50 grams of protein per day. Again, all high-quality U.S. ingredients. No refrigeration required, 25-year shelf life. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, this is breaking news. This literally just came out within the past hour. Dickie Betts, super influential singer, songwriter, guitarist for Allman Brothers, has passed away at the age of 80. It was literally just announced on his Instagram page. Dickie Betts official. They say, quote, "It's with profound sadness and heavy hearts that the Betts family announced the peaceful passing of Forrest Richard Dickie Betts at the age of 80 years old. They said that he passed away earlier today at his home in Osprey, Florida, surrounded by family. And the family's asking for prayers and respect for their privacy. And they said more information will be forthcoming in the appropriate time." I don't need to even tell you about Dickie Betts and the Allman Brothers. Midnight Rider is one of my absolute favorite all-time top five songs that's ever been written. I've seen the Allman Brothers live. Dickie Betts is amazing. Holy cow. I mean, he's just one of those dudes that you're just like, he can go on. You know what I mean? Like him, Keith Richards, like these other cats, they're just like powered by some like secret nuclear energy and you don't know what it is. Man, Dickie Betts, age 80. Rest in peace, man. Good heavens. Also, good, I don't know how you go after that. Henry Cavill, or Cavill. Is it Cavill? I think it's Cavill. Yeah, his it's an AI fake. A lot of people have been wanting him to be James Bond, but they have this other guy who I think is going to be a good James Bond as James Bond. But Henry Cavill, they said there was this fake Bond trailer that was online, and it got almost like 3 million views, I think, at this point. The last, when they were writing about it, it was like 2.5. Now it's like 3 million. And it was a fake trailer, a Bond 26 trailer, and they were using him as the new Bond. It's not him. But I think it kind of shows you, a lot of people really wanted him as the James Bond, as the new character, him or Idris Elba. But here's the problem. Producers were saying that Idris Elba and Henry Cavill were too old to commit for like a decade of making James Bond films, because apparently they got 7 more in the can. And they need, like, they need a younger guy who can commit and age with it. So apparently that was the big, not that they didn't like either of those guys, but that was the big thing. That whiny, whingy ginger, Prince Harry, finally cut ties with Britain. Nobody cares. I think he ought to be deported. Exiled Prince lists the United States as his primary residence, and people are worried about his deportation over past drug use. I think he should be deported because he's a whiny welfare nepo baby. I can't stand him and his wife, who cannot dress herself and doesn't know how to use an iron or tailor off the rack stuff to actually fit her proportions. And who the hell wears heels on the pitch? Stop it. I'm sorry. I'm done. American teens are getting arrested for smuggling illegal immigrants because it's good money. It's good money for them. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. A lot of stuff to hit today. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale, a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. They were founded in 1844 to pursue truth and defend liberty. Those are their hallmarks. And they have a lot of free resources, so you don't have to actually go to their campus in Michigan. You can actually go to Dana4Hillsdale.com and take advantage of all these free things that they offer, including their free digest called Imprimis. And it has deep dives on a ton of different issues from awesome thought leaders. And they send it out to you for free. They send it out to almost like 7 million homes and businesses. And so in the latest edition of Imprimis, for instance, the American Medical Association, they've declared that medicine is just rank with white supremacy. And so as a result, they got to lower the standards on all medical school entrance tests. It's an actual, literal thing. They're downplaying academic excellence in medical school so that they can satisfy DEI admissions. And this is also happening in law and other fields. But, you know, you're talking about AMA. These people can operate on your guts, guys. So you kind of want the best and brightest, right? Well, that's not where everything is heading. And this is just one of the ways that Hillsdale follows all of this stuff and keeps you informed, rooted in defense of liberty and pursuit of truth. No cost or obligation. They produce a mail out in Primus as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. Sign up for your free subscription today at Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Back when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's 4 brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Bosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals, for real, in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq for a year, and he came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. And they gave, like many of you, risked your lives, and you know people who gave their lives to the country, for heroes. But one of the things that as I was doing that today, I was reminded of what my opponent said in Paris not too long ago. They asked him to go visit American grave sites. He said no, he wouldn't do it, because they were all suckers and losers.
That's not what he said. You absolutely.
I'm not making that up.
Desiccated meat sack.
Staff was with him, acknowledged it today. Suckers and losers. That man doesn't deserve.
You can't even talk. What the hell is this? Oh my gosh!
Commander-in-chief and my son.
Somebody give him another shot. Give him a hit off of Hunter's Coke Rock. That's Biden. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this hour, Dana Lash with you. He's telling steel workers in Pennsylvania, you know, because he's ruining their economy. He's telling them this. I love, let me just share. This is the Telegraph's British publication. This is their headline. Cannibals ate my uncle, claims Joe Biden. The U.S. president's theory of Second Lieutenant Ambrose Finnegan's death contradicted by official war records. Because it's BS. It's been debunked already. This isn't the first time that he shared this. If you can, that's literally not at all what happened. Oh my gosh. They said that the plane went down, but not near a cannibal island. And they said that the aircraft nose had hit the water, et cetera, et cetera. But he wasn't eaten by cannibals. And there's nothing ever to suggest that he ever was. I mean, good heavens, there's leftist news sites that are debunking this. I mean, what in the world? But he still shares it. And he says that, and this story, he keeps saying it anyway, that Trump wouldn't go and visit the graves of whatever. And, you know, and that's also a lie that's also been debunked millions of times, but nobody apparently listens to it. That story came from Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic, and there was zero corroboration of it. It came out, this headline, by the way, that Juan is showing, this side-by-side here. Y'all see this headline? This is the funniest stuff. Are you kidding me? Cannibals ate my uncle.
It's a serious headline, Dana.
They ate my uncle. They opened up a pop-up on the beach. They called it Shea Biden. They ate my uncle Finnegan. Ambrose Finnegan. What a name, by the way.
Don't make fun of a potential truth.
It's not a potential truth. It's an always lie. Good heavens. They didn't say that. He never said that. Trump never said that either. He never said that about that. It literally never happened. He just ran with it. That's also a story that was debunked by, I think, Snopes, Washington Post. I'm just like scrolling through my. They said it. They knew it was a lie too when they said it, and they still did it. They keep saying it over and over again. It's ridiculous. And it never, ever happened. It's been debunked. Trump never said that. And Uncle Bozy, that never happened either. And he told this, I love how a friend of mine wrote, he told this story on his way from his Puerto Rican hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. You know, because Joe Biden also, apparently Joe Biden is more Puerto Rican than Juan. I mean, going by Joe Biden.
A hard time believing it.
Well, I mean, then why do you hate his stutter, Kane? I mean, you know, you either believe that the man grew up in Scranton, Puerto Rico, or you don't.
I'm not really. Is there a Scranton, Puerto Rico? Because I don't think there is.
I mean, who knows? You're, with his stutter, it could be anything. That's it. And the suckers and losers thing was an entirely made up lie that's never been corroborated. And yeah, can we? Well, didn't we do this audio somebody too?
No, he did it again. This is him doing it again.
What?
He did it like three or four times.
Not in the same thing.
No, yeah, absolutely. Different venues, different locations, same story.
Okay, go ahead and roll this.
Potential truth.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy.
Oh, my gosh.
He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in the beginning at the time. He never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up.
Oh my gosh, that never happened.
The memorial for the veterans in Paris. And he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
He never said that. That never happened again. So this was another whole, he's on the tarmac. I was trying to think of the tarmac. Yeah, that's so. Let me. So again, that came from a just loser's article in the Atlantic, and it's been repeated by even former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, and or no, he's the one who corrected it. It was repeated by Obama Biden's former White House Chief of Staff. John Kelly went out and he was setting the record straight. And again, even WaPo and others have debunked this. And he's like, that literally, none of this stuff has ever been said. I mean, everybody, even the people who hate him, who hate Trump, have denied that that was ever said. I can't believe we're talking about this again. This is so stupid. I mean, it was a, there's a lot of evidence that goes, that completely destroys Jeffrey Goldberg's claim. And what I remember when this happened, because he was in, wasn't it like a G, wasn't this the same trip where he later met up with the European leaders, including Angela Merkel, and that's when they were arguing about how much Germany needs to be giving towards their percentage of GDP for NATO requirements, and they had, like, you know, he was sitting at the desk with his arms crossed. I think it was all from that visit, because earlier, when he was in France, he was expected to go north to go to a French cemetery, which apparently was his idea. And they had horrible weather in France. And I even remember stories about, like, flooding, etc. And he was livid because he wanted to go to a specific World War I cemetery. And they said that they couldn't because the weather was so bad. And the roads, because it was, you know, kind of, from what I understand, the cemetery was more in a rural part of France. The roads were bad. He had to keep to a schedule. They needed to get him back because he was supposed to have caught a flight and then go after being in France. And he was going to lay a wreath at this cemetery. And they said, we can't get there. He had suggested going by copter. They're like, we definitely can't go there in this weather in helicopter. It's not going to happen. There's like, and apparently that was Secret Service telling him this. They're like, it's not going to happen. It's too dangerous to go. It was super heavy rain. It lightning the whole nine yards. And they're like, it's entirely unsuitable for you to do this. And he was livid that he couldn't go to that. There was never anything like suckers and losers and all of that stuff. And in fact, there was like a little known, and I can't find it now because it's been memory hold. I had it saved in my bookmark system. But there was a lefty who had said, because a little bit about him arguing with security about taking a chopper to the cemetery in a horrible thunderstorm. And he apparently was arguing with them, and someone on the left was making fun of him for arguing with his own security on that. So that there's like a lot of stuff out there that completely debunks this. He never said the losers and whatever thing. He never said that. That is so stupid. Like, why in the world? Jeffrey Goldberg literally could not even produce anything. Nothing. Nothing. I'm pulling this up. There were email receipts that were produced, even detailing all of this, that were describing this exact visit and were saying that, you know, Trump had wanted to do this and he couldn't get there and he was livid and he, you know, apparently said some choice words to people who told him no. Even John Bolton, who hates him to death, was like, this didn't happen. It did not. And John Bolton wrote about it in his memoir. And they were mad, and he had even said that Trump was mad because of the weather. Secret Service refused to, Trump said that he was mad about the rain, et cetera, et cetera. John Bolton, I don't know. The whole thing is so stupid. I can't even believe we're talking about this. This is so damn dumb.
I remember this is like five and a half years ago. And the media was making it out like Trump made the decision because of the rain. And then everybody's response was, you know, the left can't meme anyway.
Bolton was still making fun of Trump and saying that, oh, he probably wouldn't have wanted to go to get his hair wet anyway and all this other stuff.
Yeah, that's mostly what it became. Is like Trump just was scared of the rain.
But they literally were like, we can't fly a chopper. And Secret Service told you no. I mean, if anybody loves a photo op, it's Donald Trump. And can you imagine a photo op of Donald Trump being in a World War I cemetery laying a wreath in the pouring rain? That's a photo op. That man lives for photo ops. Yeah. He loves his hair and he's vain as all hell. But that man loves one thing more than those two items that I just mentioned. And those are photo ops. He will go and do that. And none of this stuff makes sense. None of it's true. But to Biden's point, you know, my son Beau was eaten by cannibals. He's eaten by cannibals too. I'm surprised he didn't say that. I love how it's just so vague. Yeah, he crashed where there were a lot of cannibals. And the Pentagon records are like, the Pentagon said his plane wasn't shot down. Because Biden said, yeah, his plane was shot down. His plane wasn't shot down. That didn't even happen. And his uncle wasn't a pilot. His uncle was a passenger in the plane. Oh my gosh. And he said the government went back when I was down there, and they checked and they found parts of the plane and all this stuff. It literally was not.
I'm pretty sure that it wasn't even shot down.
Oh no, I just said that it wasn't. No, Pentagon records show it wasn't shot down at all.
It's unreal. Like every part of the story is completely false. Like every part.
My son Bo was shot down and eaten by cannibals. Cannibals actually shot him down and then ate him. Really? Yes. Yes, barbaric cannibals shot down my son Bo in World War I. How did your son Bo? Because he did. Don't make fun of my stutter. I mean, we're at that level. Jeez, this is so stupid. Did you guys see the list of snacks real quick that you're not supposed to eat anymore? Thousands of everyday snacks are facing being banned in multiple states because their ingredients apparently cause to cancers. Flamin' Hot Cheetos, Lucky Charms, Gatorade. A lot of these additives were already outlawed in Europe. Gatorade is, they're different colors over in Europe. Like the yellow isn't a bright yellow because they don't put like this, I can't remember the dye, that dye color, they can't, it's barred, they can't put it in there. So it's like a real weird, like light yellow, weird color. I don't know. But apparently different states are considering bans. California banned Skittles. Well, they called it a Skittles ban. They have four additives that they do not allow. Pennsylvania and Illinois and New York have similar measures. They've been passing these 13 additives. New Jersey and Missouri, they said the companies have to change their recipes. And some of them include, oh my gosh, like the stuff in Trix, Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, include yellow 6, which is linked to adrenal tumors. Yellow 5 and yellow 6 in Doritos, the Ken's Steakhouse dressing. What else? A couple of, another, I can't see that chip, that has yellow 5 and yellow 6 that can cause DNA mutations in white blood cells within 3 hours. Yeah. Oreos contain blue number 1 that cause kidney tumors, apparently. The Gatorades, including the Mountain Dews, y'all, linked to cancer and hyperactivity, the food dyes. Red 40 that's in the Betty Crocker mixes, all the cake mixes and icing. That's they have to carry warning labels because of red number 40. Tostitos, they're a little jarred queso. Cancer cells grow faster when exposed to yellow number 5. And red 40 benzene causes like everything. And that's in Swedish Fish, M&M's, Sour Patch Kids, Hot Tamales, Nerds, Skittles, Jell-O packages, Pop-Tarts, Jolly Ranchers, all of it. Jolly Ranchers? Yeah, Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, because of the food dye.
Mm-hmm. All because of the food dye. Dang. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to eat, but I'm going to tell you what to eat. I'm going to tell you how to eat it, because not everybody gets their full serving of vegetables and fruit every day. And I know this because, I mean, there's a reason why a lot of people have health issues. There's a reason why, you know, you're dealing with metabolism issues or inflammation or digestion or whatever it is. Field of Greens is not a supplement. Okay. It's actually like part of your meal. Field of Greens is all of the best 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. These are things that are medically selected by doctors for their specific health benefit. They're not going to waste nothing. And you take one scoop, mix it into either 8 ounces of water or milk or something preferably healthy, and you're going to be able to help meet your body's needs, the requirements of what it needs to power throughout the day. And there's so many good things that come from, you know, these vegetables and fruits. I mean, you have antioxidants, fiber, good grief. How many studies do we have to show that detail how people under the age of 50 are not getting enough fiber? And this is turning into a major health issue, like an epidemic. And this is where Field of Greens can help. Because I know y'all aren't eating the stuff that you're supposed to eat every meal. I know you're not. But Field of Greens makes it easy. And it's only literally one scoop and 8 ounces of liquid. Preferably healthy. Now you're going to love it. You're going to see the difference. And if you don't, you can get your 100% money back guarantee. So they want to give you Field of Greens 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Dana.
Let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently.
So
when Israel was
Biden tells Israel, don't move on yourself, because Haifa is the third largest city in Israel. There's like 230 something thousand people that live in the city. It's north of Tel Aviv.
Why
it's the third largest
city.
It's a stutter. I mean, you know. You know, you need to not move on Tel Aviv. It's like saying this is the same thing. Yeah, don't move on Jerusalem. He is. And why he's like squinting. And then he's doing the karate hands. It's not a gaffe at this point. He's got issues. Got issues. Lorraine says, because Lorraine's so mad about the Boozy thing, Uncle Boozy. That story has got me just, I can't even. Man, I'm shooketh. He wasn't shot down. He was a passenger. And Lorraine's like, he wasn't even near he wasn't even near Papua New Guinea. He was north. And it was on D-Day. D-Day's on, what, a Tuesday? It wasn't even on D-Day. So at some point, it's not a stutter anymore. He's done this like multiple times. Serial fabulism is what it is. He's done this multiple times. So, I mean, how do you sit there and you listen to this guy and you're like, wait, you don't want the Israelis to move on themselves? That doesn't even make any sense. But I think their family, Lorraine noted that remnants of cerebral hemorrhage was apparently a contributing factor of Ambrose Finnegan's demise. And so it looks like they have had brain issues in their family, which makes sense. Stay with us. We got a lot more. Second hour on the way coming up. It's the folks over at Gold Co. Because who knows? I don't even know what's going to happen. The taxes that are coming around the bend, everything else. You need to add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. Because they ain't stopping the spending anytime soon. That's for sure. And with everything becoming more unstable, you know, whether it's internationally or domestically or economically, whatever, diversify and protect your savings with precious metals like gold and silver. Gold Co. can help. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this show. It's only while supplies last. Now, the wealth protection kit will arm you with everything that you need to know, educate you thoroughly, not just about how the gold IRA field works, but also with how inflation affects all of this, the exploding national debt, everything. This is one of their unique qualities. They want to make sure that with this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit, you understand how all this works. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. Thousands of five-star reviews. They've helped a lot of people. People like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. So no pressure and get started today. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Yeah, so he's considering, well, he's announcing tariffs regarding Chinese, you know, certain Chinese products, et cetera, and people have been asking, too, about, because Pennsylvania, I mean, higher tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum, that's what they're pushing for this election, tripling, by the way, the tariffs on Chinese steel products, and people are asking, you know, about, they were asking him about this in Pennsylvania. He's been in Pennsylvania. He's doing this to try to keep Pennsylvania in play because it's such a bellwether that it really, I mean, it really, really is a like major indicator of, you know, how the rest of the states, some of these other states are going to go, more swing states. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. I saw this poll, is a New York Times poll, seeing a college poll of women voters. And it was taken of 1,059 registered voters. So you got a 3.3 margin of error. And it was taken from April 7th to the 11th. And it shows in this where it comes to women, and it doesn't give any, it just says women in general. 53% support Joe Biden, 37% support Donald Trump. And I hear some people saying, oh my gosh, this is why we need to repeal the 19th Amendment. Don't be taking my right to vote away because some broad wants to vote for a desiccated old communist. That's like me saying, I'm going to take your guns away because a criminal misused one of them. Don't be doing that stuff. I don't even like it as a joke. It aggravates me. I don't even like it as a joke, especially when I hear it from people who pay less in tax than I do. So I get real, I told you guys, I get real mad around this time of the year because of the IRS, Government Theft Day. So people are like, well, how is this possible? Well, because women have been told for generation after generation that you're under attack. You're under attack, and Republicans, is all, everything is just about abortion and all this other stuff. And I think that feminism has done such a disservice to women that you've got women out here believing this stuff. They believe it. They believe this type of stuff. It's, it's been like this since before you had the fake TradCon, traditional conservative, quote unquote, red pill dudes that have been going out there and talking like progressive males, which got us started to get us into this problem in the first place is progressivism, specifically progressive males. And then you had women react to that, and then progressive women decided to exploit it further and wage a full-on matriarchal, epic, generational battle against all men. But, I see people say, like this one chick, the 19th Amendment needs to be abolished. Women are the worst voting bloc in America. You pay less tax than I do, B. Sit down. That's like saying, again, I'm going to take your guns away because somebody else used their guns in a bad way. Somebody else used their guns. I'm actually unfollowing this person because it's so stupid. I don't even like it as a joke. It aggravates me. I think it's stupid. Why does that make me so mad? I get so aggravated over this stuff. I see people out there every day saying dumber stuff than I do. What?
Because you're still being taxed. Like, if you, the whole concept of not allowing women to vote, but you're still paying taxes, that's kind of like taxation without representation.
Yeah. Do I want to put that person on blast? What does that mean?
I mean, they're advocating for taxation without representation.
I get violently mad when it concerns my money.
I mean,
I am an American, and that's
you
kind of...
You have an American DNA running.
I have American DNA. I want to throw more than tea in the harbor.
Aggressive American DNA.
When I see people who say stuff like this, I'm like, it's a good thing that I can't reach through the screen. I like that Mike Tyson quote. Wait, hang on, let me Google this. Hang on.
Everyone got a plan.
What?
Everyone's got a plan.
I'm telling you. Yeah, Mike Tyson. And he's talked. What did he say? Oh, he goes, social media made y'all way too comfortable with disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it. That's what he said. By the way, is it Jake Paul? One of those dumb Paul brothers. Why does he want to die?
I think it's the money.
He wants to die for the money? Because he's fighting. Mike Tyson may be old, but have you seen his training videos? Like, he breathes and punches stuff. That's what he does. Just saying. Yeah. Social media made it y'all way too comfortable with disrespecting people, not getting punched in the face for it. That's what he said. That's a great Mike Tyson quote. It's one of my favorites. I mean, I'm not lionizing the guy. I'm just saying.
I think it falls in line with that. Everyone's got a plan until they,
Yeah, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. That's right. Yeah, when I see these people, the 19th Amendment needs to be abolished. Women are the worst voting bloc in America. I could buy and sell you for what I paid in tax. And you're going to sit here and demand that I not have representation because some progressive bitches are going for Biden over Trump. I will swing you around by your extensions until you are bald. Do not. Why does that make me so mad? I could do a whole 3 hours on that. Stop it. Maybe I won't put that particular chick on blast, but I think we're going to be saying something about this because I'm so dumb. I'm done with this stuff. I'm done with it. Yeah, can I just for a minute indulge me? The Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, it's in Dallas. When is it? In July? And in July?
Yeah.
And it's in Dallas. I don't want to see that blonde. What is he? Was he on TikTok?
Oh yeah, he was everywhere.
Vine.
I don't follow. I don't follow him. But why? I think he's going to get beat to death. I mean, you got to last the first what, 3-4 rounds, and then after that, maybe you got a chance. Maybe you got a chance.
I don't think he'll die because I think that's why the ref's in there, kind of slow that process down a little bit.
But, he's going to have shaken baby syndrome.
I feel
this.
Like he's going to get hurt.
Sure.
And I think, too, I'm actually paying attention to how the betting is going on this.
Are you?
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of hype, and there could be some upset potential here.
I've been enjoying boxing for a long time, and I watch MMA. I get into some fighters, not everybody. I only like certain fights with certain fighters. But I remember we went in with our friends and we were watching the Mike Tyson fight when he bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. I was in high school. And we're like, what? We got so mad because it was so expensive for high school kids to do that, by the way. We all pulled our money together and we bought that pay-per-view and I'll be damned, it was over in like a hot minute. Yeah. I was so mad.
92 seconds.
Oh, I was so mad. But he trains, they had videos online showing the difference between Jake Paul training and Mike Tyson training. It's like watching somebody like prepare for the Great British Baking Show cooking on an easy bake oven or somebody in like a professional kitchen. It was like watching the difference between that. It was really stunning. I mean, you remember, didn't Floyd Mayweather, was it Jake Paul that fought Floyd Mayweather and Mayweather rocked him and I swear he held him up. He's holding him up. I'm just saying, this boy wants to die. So, you know, sometimes you got to give the people what they want. I'm just saying. Just, oh my gosh. Anyway, whole point in that was this poll, right? This survey looking at women going for Biden more than Trump. It's always, here's the issue. I think with some chicks, it's always going to be the problem of the apple. Even still today, it's the problem of the apple. It's exactly what it is. By the way, men out there, this is why you don't ask us what we want to eat. Okay? My husband's like, what would you like to eat tonight? What are we going to eat tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to eat? Well, I'm asking you. You asked us once before. Look what happened. Okay? We got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And we figured out we were naked and we had to go through a lot of stuff to get here. So don't ask us what we want to eat. But I think that's the problem. Is this. You're just going to have some women out there that are just, they're going to be dumb and goofy like this. So I don't know. I mean, I also kind of question the structure of the poll. Now, that being said, I want to point out it's literally 1,059 registered voters. I don't know where they came from. I would imagine that women in New York are vastly different, say, than women in Florida or women in Texas, right? Women in California, probably, especially like around the LA area, very different from women in Oklahoma. So I think that's part of it as well. But I just can't believe that here we are in 2024 and Democrats still got you voting by body part. Still, to this day, got you voting by body part. And I also kind of look at it like this. And this might be somewhat controversial to say, but I really don't care. Believe me, I understand the... How do we do this? I understand the idea and the principle of saying, oh, I just don't think I can vote for that man because he's, you know, he's nasty. I don't like he says what he says, some of the words he says when he's giving his speeches. And, you know, look, I agree with you. I am of two minds on this. I entirely agree with you. I think that a politician should be virtuous. You should have a virtuous politician. You should have a politician who is better than the people he represents, right? Better than the people who elected him. A virtuous politician, free from big, big offenses. Somebody who completely embodies your values. I entirely understand that. But I also think that come November, if you go, you cast your vote, and you're I'm voting my principles. I just can't vote for this because his language is nasty. Or I don't like, you know, these principles that he compromised on. And believe me, I've got disagreements with the man. And then we end up losing in November. No one's going to give you a citizenship award. There's no award for most principled voter. Because elections have changed. And also because voters are forgetting one very big thing. The politicians are a reflection of you. They're a reflection of everyone. This virus of escaping accountability has even been adopted by conservative voters. People who say, I just don't think I can ever vote Trump. No one's asking you what your principles are right now. This is about tools on the chessboard. It's not an endorsement of someone's lifestyle to cast a vote a certain way in November. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I am going to make fun of some of the reasoning. These people are tools on the chessboard of political life. They're tools on the chessboard of advancing your agenda. Does it advance your agenda to be able to have someone who's going to be perhaps more compelled to cut taxes than someone who isn't? That's the big question. If you answer it honestly, then the decision becomes clear. But there are people out there who won't answer it honestly, and I don't have time for that noise. But politicians are a reflection of the voter. They're a reflection of you, of me, of all of us. And so I think that everyone, I know everyone wants to baby voters and act like we're goo goo gaga, we're just little babies, and oh, don't blame the voter. But yeah, it's time to blame the voter. Send better people to D.C. Send more Republicans than a plus one majority to the White House or to the House in Congress so we can better control the power of the purse. Send more virtuous Republicans to be elected. Recruit more virtuous Republicans to be elected. There's no escaping responsibility in this. We either fully embrace our American DNA or we don't. Or we just sit back and we export it to the political welfare class and let them do all the governing and decision making for us, which a lot of people on the right have done for many years. If you want better politicians, more virtuous politicians, you got to step up your game. A reflection of you. Everyone needs to be more virtuous, to have more virtuous elected officials. We have more on the way. Look, if you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, if you're one of the people who are like, I'm not going to use Netflix because I don't want to support the Obamas, but you're using any other phone service but Patriot Mobile, you're doing more to support the Obamas than people who watch Netflix do. Like three times more. Over that, actually, because this is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. I seriously do not know why people don't switch. Hands to sky, I don't get it. I mean, if you are with any other service, you are legit putting money in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. I'm not making this up. You can go to this thing called the internet and you can look it up on Open Secrets and it shows you the political action committees of all of these other cell phone services out there and what they fund. I really don't want to have a cell phone service that funds abortion on demand funded by taxpayers or gun control or that cuts me off at the knees, you know, with my own money. This is what you get with Patriot Mobile, though. You don't fund any of that stuff. They're like-minded. But what's even also, I think, maybe even more important is that the service is just good. It's good service and it's more affordable. So if you don't care about the politics, at least save yourself some money in this trash hellscape Biden economy and maybe switch to Patriot Mobile. They have plans to fit every single budget imaginable, and you can get free activation using code Dana. The only time it's not obnoxious to drop a name. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It's easy to switch. Dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It's interesting. Missouri just passed the Missouri House. Anyway, State House just passed a bill to fund students over systems 82-69. Three Democrats voted for it. It already went through the Senate 19-10. It now goes to the governor's desk. It's a school choice bill. It goes to the governor's desk to get signed. That's great news for our home state of Missouri. Great news indeed. Also, this sugar cravings, they say, according to a new study, could be caused by loneliness. That's the... Really? I mean, I think...
I had a sweet tooth way before I was lonely.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true. Scotland's going to ditch a key climate change target. Scottish government's going to ditch its flagship target of reducing greenhouse gas emissions 75% by 2030. Ministers, they said, missed the last 12 annual targets. They said that it's unachievable to reach the 75% milestone. So they're just like, blanket. We're done. Let's see. Apparently, eating junk food in childhood could lead to long-term irreversible memory issues. Kane says it's not the vax, guys. Not the vax. And airline caterers are going on strike, affecting travelers on flights. So you don't get... Does that affect pretzels and beverages? Does it affect those things? Stick with us. More in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
I can't even believe I'm having this conversation right now. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. So this has to do, is it Nebo? How do they say it?
I guess it's Nebo.
The Nebo School District in Utah. And apparently, so there were middle schoolers that walked out on Wednesday because they said that the district was allowing student furries to terrorize other students. And they said that the student furries were biting, scratching, and spraying human repellent at other students.
What the heck is human repellent?
I don't even know what that is. Axe body spray? When a student retaliates, apparently they're the one who gets suspended. So what? This is Utah. They said students claim that the furries bite them, bark at them, pounce on them without repercussion. And so the students literally staged a walkout. Good. They were tired of it. Good on them. And they said that this was kind of goofy. This response from, this is Seth Sorensen, the school district spokesperson. Now listen to him. How he tries to characterize this. He's like, well, they're not like totally furries. He didn't say it just like that. But he says that the way that he puts it, the group of students being targeted, because it sounds like the students that are being bitten and scratched and all that are being targeted. He says that they come to school wearing headbands. Sometimes they may have ears on them. He's like, I just don't know if they actually think they're furries. He doesn't think that, you know, they think they're furries, etc. And that really does not at all sound like what the kids are saying. And considering the history that a lot of these school districts have with this stuff with students, I'm actually going to believe the students over this dude. Because they're getting kicked and scratched and bit, apparently. And so there was literally, they had a petition that they created. Students for Humans at School, Not Animals, a.k.a. Furries.
The fact that it had to be created.
Yeah. And they said, and then the Sorensen said that he thinks, because they had a message from the school that was sent to families last week. And it said this, because apparently the school intervened with the students, which made it all even worse. And they said that apparently they are blaming the parents of the kids who walked out for misinterpreting the school's response, saying that we weren't taking, you know, the side, we want you to be kind, you know, whoa, you're, they're the ones getting bit and scratched, you epic moron. And he said, well, the parents took to social media instead of discussing the issue with the school district. It sounds like they were trying to discuss the issue with the school district, and the school district decided to not listen to you. That's what it sounded like. Parents were apparently pulling their kids from the school. And they go, we hope that rather than parents just reaching out on social media, that they'll actually reach out to the school and have conversations. It sounds like they did. By the way of this guy's own description, that the school had was talking with families and then sent a message, and the parents did not like the response that they got. It sounds like they had to go to social media because the Nebo or Nebo school district wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing on behalf of these students. That's what it sounds like. You know, sometimes bullying's not a bad thing, if I'm being honest. Because a quick way, if I was in school and somebody was dressed as a furry and they were biting and scratching me, I would beat your ass. That's exactly what would happen. And I wouldn't get in trouble either. My mom would take me to the mall or Six Flags or something if I had been suspended. There's no way it's going to happen. You will get hit. But I don't know, like Kane and I, we always talk, like I grew up in Jefferson County, Missouri, proudly. So, you know, it's just kind of how we did things. Kane knows this. Kane is a North. You were a Northside. Same thing as how
North,
they did things.
North County. But yeah, look, if it creates balance, it isn't bullying.
Right.
That's literally the lesson here, kids. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night. Great show. Have a great night, guys. For real, though. I'm just trying to figure out why in the world that, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how in the world the students objecting are being portrayed by the school as the bad guys in this situation. That makes no sense to me. I mean, it does when you consider the state of education lately, but, you know, I digress. I can't even imagine. It's just wild. But they said that, oh, the parents in the school district now, because the story's gone, is going viral. They're now having to deal with all the fallout of this. Biting, scratching, and spraying them with human repellent. I still don't know what human repellent is. So they walked out and, wait, there's one more. There were reports of them using litter boxes as bathrooms. How do you?
Don't ask, because no.
Yeah. And there were a lot of kids doing it. A lot of kids. One girl said, quote, these kids are mentally ill and they're trying to force their illness upon us. They want attention. And they've sprayed some of the kids said that they had Febreze. They sprayed Febreze in their eyes. And the school has a strict dress code. And yet they're allowed to wear this stuff. I think it's hysterical that they interviewed an adult furry who was like, those kids dressing as furries need to knock it off. That's when you know you've gone too far. When like the adult furry comes out and is like, knock it off, you brats. That's when you know it's gone way too far.
How do we reach the furries?
Hire them as a contributor. And our contributor, what it was that one named person. What was it? I remember the name of the person that they had that reporter interviewed. Golly, I can't deal. Wait, there's more. Did you hear this story? Now I'm looking at a picture of this dude. Neck check, looks like a dude. Biological male very quietly joined women's NCAA Division Volleyball, Division I Volleyball at San Jose University. This dude has been participating as a on a women's volleyball team and hid his biological sex. I'm looking at him. You look like a dude. Looks like a dude. There's no way. That's no. And going by the name of Blair Fleming, he is playing women's Division I volleyball for San Jose University in the Mountain West Conference. Now, the mother of an opposing player was like, look, I watched my daughter play against this dude. She didn't say this dude, via Blair. And then in person. And everyone thought that this dude was a male, that Blair was a male. And she said that he very clearly looked like a male on the court. Not just by the way he looked, but also his mannerisms. He jumped higher. He hit harder. Nobody could compete with his athleticism. He had very narrow hips. He had a longer shirt in the front as well. You know why he had a longer shirt on in the front, Kane?
I can guess.
That lady's got some balls.
Come on.
True.
Stick to the news.
He was also apparently, during the match, the mother noticed that the girls were suffering more injuries and strains than they had. And that when he would hit them with the ball, they were rubbing their arms after blocking shots from this guy. And they said he was unstoppable. He's a dude. And then they finally, you can't tell me that the coach and the administrators at San Jose State did not know. And she said she watched these other female athletes, including some who were very good, take turns sitting on the sidelines while he was on the court the entire time. He played the whole match he played. And, you know, those who are out there playing, they got an increased chance for injury. And she said, she was saying that her daughter and her teammate stats were not as good, anywhere comparable to what they were in the other games because of that. And apparently he was also a jackwagon. He would stare down and glare at other girls on the court and was incredibly rude and arrogant. And that's according to number of parents. So he is literally, he's 6'1". His hands are larger, noticeably. He's got more muscles, noticeably. He's a dude. I mean, growing your hair out doesn't hide your wang. It does not work that way. It doesn't hide the fact that you're a dude. And I think it's ignorant that this school did not tell everybody that this dude was playing on the team. Oh, he hid it? He didn't hid nothing. He hid nothing. They knew. He set the school record for most kills in a match and a single season record of 266 kills. Jeez. I mean, he very clearly was raised as a boy. He was apparently, he's been a boy. He's only recently apparently been a girl. Division I volleyball, highest level, NCAA. And they get, you know, full ride scholarships, all this stuff. And nobody knows if he's gotten a scholarship, but now, I mean, this is just wild. How do you sit here? Don't you think, Kane, that they knew this guy was a dude? He didn't hide it from San Jose. Hide this from San Jose.
There's no doubt about it. They just didn't want to take the public backlash over it.
That's the other thing. There's no transparency. There's zero transparency about any of this from any of these people. No transparency.
And how is this not the patriarchy in women's clothing and women's sports?
Oh, it is, completely. And I'm just like, where are all of the, you know, third wave feminists out there that should be raising Kane over this? No offense, Kane, but it's just craziness. I also wanted to where's this at? I also wanted to share for you as well. Do you guys? Apparently, there's a new buzzword that's dropped. Yeah, a new microaggression buzzword. Ambient gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Ambient gaslighting. So USA Today. Quote, ambient gaslighting is just that. It's around you, percolating in the air. Some examples of where you might sense its subtle presence? In targeted marketing. In political news. In the workspace. Ambient gaslighting. That's the new microaggression buzzword, guys.
So who's supposed to be offended by that again?
Yeah, I don't know.
Perpetrating the gaslighting or the people victims of the gaslighting?
They say in political news, it's, quote, polarized politics have led to seemingly alternate realities that have only accelerated during the pandemic. Convincing opinion like news programs or unverified social media posts may make you question your beliefs. No, they don't. And this has been going on long before the pandemic. I feel like this person just realized that they're political and that history began the day they realized that. It's actually a story called Definition Explained, Ambient Gaslighting. This is 1984. It is. It's 1984.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So we had the drunk boat guy yesterday. There were three Florida men accused of pepper spraying employees after stealing Chanel purses from Chanel. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. So three Florida dudes found themselves behind bars. They decided to, in broad daylight, to rob a Saks Fifth Avenue. And when they went into the Saks Fifth Avenue, they were going to steal a bunch of Chanel bags and then flee the store. 27-year-old, a 32-year-old, and a 31-year-old pepper sprayed employees who tried to stop them before they fled in a BMW. They said that officials located the getaway car and they ended up involved in a pursuit. And they did get the suspects and arrest them on charges of armed robbery, aggravated battery, fleeing and eluding. Why do you, you're not going to be, first off, this ain't California. Florida's not California. They will arrest you. They'll drag you out of the street. They will blank you up, just to quote Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder. They will find you. And they're still investigating, but it seems like it's an open and shut case. But to imagine doing that, going into a Saks and doing that in broad daylight. Good night. You remember that mystery object that fell, what they were saying, probably fell from the space station. NASA determined that this debris, I don't know what this is, something from their flight support equipment. Yeah, battery casing. Oh yeah. It's like a battery casing. It's made of, I don't know what that, it weighs 1.6 pounds, 4 inches in height and 1.6 inches in diameter. It's just a piece of space hardware that crashed through this guy's Florida home. And they think that it had to do with when the astronauts were releasing some aging nickel hydride batteries from the ISS using their robotic arm back in March of 21. And that they were replaced with new lithium ion batteries as power upgrades on this orbital outpost. And they thought that the hardware was supposed to burn up in the Earth's atmosphere when it fell March of this year. But apparently a piece of hardware survived, and that's when it fell in a house in Naples. That's the craziest thing ever. Oh, we're sorry it didn't burn up. So,
sorry about your house.
Yeah. This Florida man, this is never okay to do. This Florida man, while he's being arrested by police, asks if it's okay if he cracks open this beer in Port Orange. Oh, yeah, there's video. We'll share it with you tomorrow. We have a third hour on the way, though, next. Stick with us.
Can we just see the cannibal tab in your book?
Cannibals? There's no cannibal tab. What are you talking about? Is that what you're asking me about?
Can you fit us in?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I'll just, and I think we shared this with some of you, so I'm just going to kind of repeat. Look, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. It was incredibly emotional and important to him. You saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment yesterday. And his uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and to take care of them and their families when they come home. And as he reiterated that the last thing American veterans are suckers or losers, and he wanted to make that clear. He wanted to make
the story.
I mean, look, I don't have anything beyond about what I just laid out, but it was a really proud moment for him. It was incredibly emotional. I think some of your colleagues, as you know, Zeke, were there, and they got to witness the president pray at the war memorial, look for his uncle's name, honor him, and I think we can't forget that moment, and we cannot also forget what it means to be a commander in chief, what it means to lift up our service members, what it means to make sure that we respect their.
So this was just like minutes ago, right? That this came out within the hour. That's KJP, just brand new audio. Doubling, I can't. First off, I can't believe we're asking about cannibals. Okay, at a press conference, but okay. But doubling down on this whole thing with regard to Uncle Bozy. Okay. All right. There you go. Welcome back to the show, guys. Dana Lashier, top of this third hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Dexter Taylor's attorney on all the latest big 02A case. But I'm telling you something, it's crazy. I don't understand why they keep just say, you know what? He got mixed up at the best. He got mixed up about Uncle Bozy, because Uncle Bozy, and Lorraine has a piece on this forthcoming. over at Chapter and Verse on Substack. Uncle Bozy was a passenger. He wasn't a pilot. The Pentagon has records on all of this. It disputes everything. And he wasn't shot down near where Cannibal Islands are. I guess I assume he's talking about Papua New Guinea, right? Because that's the only island I know where they are eating people.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, we're not talking about some of the Japanese, when they took some of the soldiers hostage or captive. But, yeah, it's all they had to do was say, you know, he got mixed up. He didn't mean, he was just confused. He just misremembered or something. But instead, they are so devoted with maintaining it. I feel like I should place a bet. How long do you give until this story morphs and it becomes, my son Bo was shot down by cannibals? How long? My son Bo was shot down by, I gotta close your eyes because that's what Biden does lately. My son Bo was shot down by cannibals.
It's not hyperbole.
I mean, he's been in tar pits, cannibals probably. That man has died. He's died six ways to Sunday. Oh my gosh.
True story,
yeah. But then he did that. And then he goes into this another debunked story that was entirely made up by this Atlantic guy who writes over at the Atlantic, this stooge over there, entirely made up. Even people who hate Trump are like, okay, stop it. You're making it. We have to defend him now. Stop it. The people who hate Trump, who worked with him, who later like came out with books talking about how much they hate him, they were all even at the, they even had to come out and say, you're making it hard for us to get other people to hate him too because you're lying about him. So stop. Don't make it difficult for us. That's how debunked this all this nonsense is. But hey, look. Is it a tactic? Here's the thing. Democrats, not all of them, they're not dumb. They're very manipulative. And they don't care if they have to take a hit and look dumb. If it accomplishes their goal of getting what they want, right? So if you have Biden go out there, everybody's talking about Biden, talking about his uncle, who was not, in fact, eaten by cannibals. But now you have all of these stories and discussion about it, this instead of all of the others, like the policy stuff that he's doing that's really, really detrimental. Like his, for instance, and pull this up, his new plan, a new student loan, share the debt plan, right? He's got that. That's all brand new stuff. They want to make it to where you're going to have to pay for other people's debts. So this is all to hide, you know, the bad economic numbers. All of this. So I get it. I mean, there's a story that came out and pull this up. Because he made, well, the second time he actually talked about this, it was in Pennsylvania, right? The first time he mentioned it, he was on his way to Pennsylvania, right? And then when he got in Pennsylvania talking to the steel workers, he made this, made these remarks about the getting shot down. Oh my gosh. But apparently he's really struggling with Pennsylvania. They said this piece is Joe Biden losing Pennsylvania. He's got a 3-day swing through the state. And you guys know he grew up, as he said, in Scranton, Puerto Rico. Which is, that north or south of Pennsylvania?
I want to say
Scranton, Puerto Rico.
North south.
Yeah, north south. That's right. It's yeah, that's right. Sounds about right. He was speaking to folks about, what is it? He goes, Scranton values or Mar-a-Lago values? That's what he was saying. Scranton, Puerto Rico values. Let's get that right. And he keeps talking. He keeps like making up. This isn't going to be the first. I mean, we got 3 days of this, guys. This is day one. Okay. He's going through it's a 3-day swing through the state. But that's because voters have been shifting. Pennsylvania is a growing Hispanic population, particularly in the smaller cities. And even though typically in the past, Hispanics have voted predominantly Democrat. That's changed in the past several elections, and it's not a sure demo for Democrats anymore. Democrats haven't been making a lot of overtures towards that demographic other than trying to call them Latinx or Latine. No joke. And so Pennsylvania is changing. Trump won Pennsylvania because of new Republicans. And that's important to remember, because that can be a shifting sands type of win. I mean, remember, elections are determined in the margins. You have your bases that are going to vote for how they vote, but elections are determined in the margins. And where who's in the margins? You got independents, you got, you know, all of that, moderates. And so they've Pennsylvania's been shifting quite a bit. Trump won, I mean, barely won Pennsylvania in 2016. He barely won Pennsylvania. He took it by not even three quarter of a percentage point. It was so close. And then 4 years later, Biden beat him only by barely over 1%. Barely over 1%. Barely. And so the I'm looking at a couple of polls here, and I sent some out to you if you get the radio prep. Let me pull this up. The November, because he's losing Pennsylvania. Politics is steel, center stage in Pennsylvania. There have been a couple of ratings changes in some of these other Senate seats, Senate races, and I think that you can use that as a good indication of maybe perhaps upticket as well. But in looking at some of the averages, RCP is, it depends on what polls they take in their averages. Some of the polling, some of the averages that RCP has, and I think RCP is a great resource, but some of the polls that they factor into their averages, I think are not, not every poll is legitimate. Some of them are push polls. Some of them are literally nothing more than firms that are working on behalf of Democrat or Republican campaigns just to get something out there that they can point to and say, oh, here's a concrete number, and then run with that as a narrative. So you got to kind of keep that in mind. Now, that's not every, I don't think that that's every average. And I was looking at some of the polling for the Pennsylvania one. So this is last night I looked at, they had six polls that they averaged. And I think with the exception of one, well, maybe two, but definitely one, they're pretty even balanced. They're not really, it's not really Republican or Democrat oversampled. And I think it's probably one of the more clearer averages of some of these states that are going to be really close coming into 2024. And so the average has Biden ahead 0.1%. That's how close it is. That is how close it is. Very, very close. Very close. And the uptick for Biden, it was weird because Biden and Trump, they both kind of dipped in the polling a little bit in the beginning of March. And then Biden, Biden started March 14th. He came back up. Now they're kind of on the low again. It all goes with the economy. It all goes with, I think that's why he announced this tariffs on China, all this stuff to try to, that's all part of his 3 day swing through Pennsylvania, announcing that, going through, talking, electioneering. I think he's got some events that he's having in Pennsylvania because they're worried about that state. They are worried about it. Now, here's the other problem that I am very worried about. These polls are not going to matter if there is no ground game. And I have been warning you about this for how many months? How many months have I been talking about Trump's boots on the ground in these states? Trump doesn't have a lot of field offices. This is a huge problem. I have been talking about this for months. Now, finally, some other outlets are starting to go, oh, wait a minute. This is kind of bad. Newsweek finally noted this. The battleground state campaigning, Trump is so woefully behind Joe Biden, it's sad. Apparently, I don't even know if he has official field offices in every state. Biden has 44 field offices in Wisconsin alone. 44. They have 14 field offices in Pennsylvania. The Biden campaign has 30 field offices in Michigan. This is huge. How many does Trump have? He doesn't really have any in Wisconsin. They couldn't establish Newsweek, and this, they're not the first publication to try this. Newsweek could not establish how many field offices they have in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and some other battleground states. They're still waiting to hear back from the campaign. That right there, if his campaign doesn't fix that, November's done. That's not an exaggeration. That's how this works. If they do not have organized ground game in these battleground states, you're going to get Biden again in November. That's not a promise. That's a guarantee. What is his campaign doing?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just can't even believe the story. Weekend at Bernie's is real, dude. This woman in Brazil, it's on video. She's wheeling this dead dude all over a Brazilian mall, pushes him right into the bank, right through the bank, and she tries to withdraw money from what I assume is his account because she acts like he's talking to her. And then she tries to help him sign his name. She's trying to take out a couple thousand dollars. Erica D'Souza. And she had this Roberto Braga guy, 68 years old. He's like totally dead as a doornail in a wheelchair. And the bank branch became concerned because she was trying to get this dude to sign for this money. And they were like, this is not right. There's literally video of him. Like, of her trying to make him sign something. And then she acts like, well, if you're not well, I can take you to the hospital. If you don't feel, like, she's talking to him. It is so, Juan's getting ready to show you. It's creepy.
Well, at least they blurred it out.
They blurred out his face, but not anything else. And that dude's dead. The dude in the wheelchair, if you're watching the simulcast, is dead. And this woman in Brazil is literally trying to get him to take money out of his account. She's, like, using it Weekend at Bernie's style to rob him, essentially. So she was arrested and taken to jail. And oh my gosh, this is so gross. They were trying to determine the moment of death, and they said that, you know, they could kind of tell something was not right here. Oh my gosh, I can't even. The cops were like, in our entire careers, we've never seen a story like this. There you go. That really is all you need for headlines today. I don't know how else to top that. Well, this woman called the cops over a bad batch of meth. You know, sometimes it happens, guys. Sometimes it happens. Indiana woman, she's facing a narcotics charge. She called 911 because she had purchased some meth and it was bad. She had been defrauded. And she told literally the police officer that it was not what it was supposed to be. And that it felt different when it touched her skin and nostril. What? We're going to talk about Dexter Taylor's case with his attorney coming up next. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And you can listen coast to coast. You can also follow along if you're not listening terrestrially. You can listen to the stream, check the podcast, and also watch us on X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. We are everywhere. We also have been talking about this major case. It's a major Second Amendment case involving Dexter Taylor, who I first spoke with back in February, thanks to Jeff Charles, who was raising the alarm about this particular case. And if you get the Substack newsletter, chapter and verse, you're filled in on it. If you're just learning about it, this is an innocent man with no criminal record who is being sent to prison, probably looking at an 18-year sentence for his Second Amendment rights, which were not allowed to be mentioned apparently in court, according to Jeff. Joining us now is Dexter Taylor's attorney, Venu Varghese, who is a criminal defense attorney, also former prosecutor, and he's a legal commentator as well. He joins us via Skype. Venu, thank you so much for joining us. This is such a travesty, this case. First and foremost, how is Dex doing?
He's doing well. I mean, the guy is just a warrior, and he's been an inspiration to me. He's a unique sort of human being. He's a unicorn, really. I visited him this morning in Rikers, and actually just got back from Rikers, and he's doing well, and he was very happy to that I was coming on to your show. He told me to say hello to you and to your husband, and he was in really good spirits. He knew, we knew that this was very likely to happen. I mean, it's a New York court, New York judge, and New York prosecutors. And so we're prepared for this. And this is going to be a long battle, and I can talk more about
that. Of course. You know, and for those, Dexter, he goes by Carbon Mike on social media. And he's just, and I say, I mentioned this to Jeff Charles, and I think I even told this to Dex as a joke. I'm like, he's not as a pejorative. He's a nerd. I mean, he's like an engineering nerd. I mean, he loves, he's one of those guys who loves to know and understand how things work. And he's done this, built firearms for his own personal hobbyist use, which is a completely legal activity, has been since the beginning of this republic's founding. I mean, it's still, you know, part of our federal statute that it's, you don't, unless you're selling it, you don't have to get a license. You don't have to serialize it. There was no evidence of his intent to distribute, intent to sell, nothing. He just liked to build it and understand how it worked. And the state of New York raided his home, NYPD and ATF raided his home, knocked down his door. They took him to jail once. Now he's been convicted just the other day. How many, there was a multiple felony charges with firearms possession and building all the, what, how many charges were there?
So the indictment initially was 37 separate charges.
For the love.
They reduced it to 15 for the final vote. And he was found guilty of those in court, and came really as no surprise. We were just wondering how long they would be out. And unfortunately, they were only out a few hours. So, you know, we knew it, and we knew he was going to go in. And so we had prepared for that. He was prepared for that. You know, the judge, you know, tied his hands repeatedly. You know, she was the toughest prosecutor in the room. So,
wow. You weren't allowed to mention the Second Amendment, as I understand it. You couldn't even bring up any kind of Second Amendment rights, not cite anything on that precedent, nothing.
She would say repeatedly, both in front of the jury and outside the presence of the jury when we had legal arguments, that the Second Amendment has no place here in this courtroom. And those were her words. You know, it is kind of like stunning because, you know what, New York is bound by the Second Amendment. So what you were saying earlier is that under New York law, the current statutes and the way it is, Dexter did violate New York law. And he was aware of that. He didn't deny anything. And basically, the prosecutor, Dexter took the stand. And look, the only hope we had at this level was a potential jury nullification. That was the, so that concept is that the jury understands the law, but they choose not to convict. That was the only hope we had, because Dexter is admitting to possessing and making these firearms in his home. So under New York law, you're not allowed to do
which
that.
Which is new and law, so as I understand it. We're talking, for those who are just joining, we're talking to Dexter Taylor's attorney, Vinu Varghese, who's there in New York. He just actually visited him, he said, in Rikers earlier. The new, because a lot of these laws are new, and this is what, not being a lawyer, this is why I have you on. Because New York believes that, you know, an unmilled block of aluminum, you know, you can just go ahead and count that as a gun. They count parts that are perfectly legal to purchase as firearms by themselves. And this is something the ATF has been trying to do as an end run around Congress. But from my understanding, when I read this case and when I was looking at the charges and the arguments that the state was making, he's been doing a perfectly legal activity. New York decides to arbitrarily, without any evidence at all whatsoever in terms of this being a crime driver, decides to change the law. Of course, there's a lot of litigation about that, which is a whole other issue. But it's in conflict with what federal law is. But then it seems like they're going after him ex post facto to try to make him a felon when he's a perfectly innocent guy who's been involved in a perfectly innocent hobby.
So these gun laws actually have been around for years and years, these prohibitions on unlicensed firearms. There are additional to state regulations. There were city code violations. So New York City, so for example, having a pistol, as long as you had a license for it, basically in New York City, it's still very difficult. What happened, the change was that they had to change their licensing regime 2 years ago because of Bruin. But what they came up with is really vague and basically the same thing. They've created this before. They had to show, to get a firearm in New York State, you had to show a compelling reason to have one. Now they've changed it to this amorphous, completely constitutionally vague concept of good moral character. We had the guy on who was the custodian of records, who's a police officer from the New York City Licensing Bureau. And basically, he said, it's just arbitrary. Because I asked him to define good moral character. He couldn't. He basically said, well, it's, you know, if somebody has no criminal record. Yeah, but that's in the initial application, right? So if a guy has a criminal record, he's not getting it in New York. In New York, in New York City. And then he was like, well, no mental health. Okay, but that's in the, that's a separate part. So what's good moral character? Couldn't answer it. He couldn't tell me how many people had applied for licenses and gotten accepted and been rejected. And he basically admitted that sometimes he just rejects people. And so it was a funny, funny but sad realization of what you're dealing with in New York City on top of what you have to deal with in New York State.
It's a, this sounds like such an absolute mess to try to unravel. We're talking with Vinu Varghese, who is Dexter Taylor's attorney. And you brought up the licensing as well. And from what I read, this was something that was brought up, obviously, in the arguments in court, because New York, you know, the city says, well, you have to have a license, but they're not actually in the habit of giving them out. And from what I understand, there are a lot of, as you were just talking about, a lot of rejections, a lot of refusals on this. So they sort of, it sounds like to me that they try to set you up.
Yeah. So the what New York State judges, when Bruin came out, New York, certain lost its mind. Let's say it that way. I'm not sure what I say on your show. So I won't go there. Certain things I can't say in court. So I'll leave it to what I'm able to say online. So it certainly lost its head. And so what they did, I mean, there was the rhetoric from Governor Hochul and Mayor Adams. I mean, it was just obnoxious. They basically said it's just so wrong and it's going to create anarchy. And so what they did was come up with this new criteria called good moral character, which is complete joke. Yeah. But put that aside for a second. What we discovered, well, let me take a step back. Judges in reaction, so they get a playbook. Right. So judges across the state are given a playbook on how to reject Second Amendment challenges. So they follow this playbook. And what they did was, in every single criminal defendant that alleged a Bruin violation, they said he had no standing, meaning he didn't have a right to challenge the law because he never applied for a license. So to get around that, what we did is we subpoenaed, we got a FOIL request on the New York government, on the New York City Police Department. It took like 8 or 9 months to get these records. And it showed that in the 2 years that they were investigating Dexter, he had only, they only gave 19%, gave 19% of applications were accepted in 2021 and only 4% in 2022 post-Bruin. So we don't have the numbers for 23 and 24 because you have to, they're not readily available, according to.
You have to have a license to even present a defense on what you're getting licensed.
Well, you have to have applied for a license.
That's the craziest thing I have ever heard for this. I mean, that's kind of, well, you know, we're not going to take you seriously because you never applied for the license. That's just wild to me. That and the fact that you couldn't even cite 2A. There's a whole discussion to be had on if it's even a right at that point. We're talking to Vinu Varghese, who is representing Dexter Taylor in this case that we've been talking about. Obviously, you're going to appeal this.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have to, the next phase is sentencing. He's going to get sentenced in less than 4 weeks. If you give me a second, my son's a little too loud back there. Anyway,
we can't hear him. He's fine. He's fine. All don't right. worry. He didn't come good, in like good, that one, good, like good, that good. One guy whose two babies came in the room. You're good.
Yeah. So, we have the appeal. I'm not at home. Usually in my office at this time.
You are totally fine. So we got the appeal forthcoming for what you said, less than 4 weeks. He's going to be sentenced, which is crazy. And he's looking at 18 years.
Yes. Yes. He's going to, and this judge is going to give him maybe not that total amount, but she's going to send a message. Because basically the argument is that Dexter thinks he was above the law of the supreme law of New York State. And so in the trial, look, it came out, and at different points, the prosecutor, you know, asked him why he didn't have a license, and he said he had one. You know, it was license given to him the day he was born. It was his natural right. And so we were ready for that. Unfortunately, with a New York jury, they didn't really care. And it's unfortunate. The people that expressed any sort of affinity to firearms were, you know, they were struck. And so, you know, and there were a couple of people who said that they didn't think what he did was wrong. They were struck. So we were pretty much everyone else had, even those who said they didn't even feel strongly about them, there were only a few of those. Most people had strong views. It's sort of like the Trump trial. It actually took us longer to get five jurors in our case than it did in Trump's case, because I was able to then question and then show that they weren't ever going to give Dexter a shot. But still, with what we were left with was unfortunately slim picking.
This is just one of the this has to be so frustrating to you. And I know that this is a long fight ahead. We're talking with Vinu Varghese, who's representing Dexter Taylor. Are other gun rights groups, are they offering to help? Because this is a huge, this could be a landmark case, because you're looking at some of the conflict between what New York City and New York State want and what the federal government says is allowable. I mean, there is conflict there. So I can imagine that there would be an interest for gun rights groups to get involved in this because of the precedent, the potential precedent that this could set.
So there's one group that's been that has shown their support, expressed and said they would. That's the National Association of Gun Rights, if I'm saying the correct it. But you know, we've reached out to different people, but you know, the NRA has been silent. No response from them.
No response.
But we have, right. So we have the National Association of Gun Rights. Chris Kupfer has been supportive. We were on his podcast at one point. This word has to get out. I mean, what makes this case unique, why I believe. So let me just say, he has to go through state court process.
Right.
So unfortunately, he's going to be sitting in jail probably, you know, at least 2 years before we can get to federal court. So at least probably maybe longer with delays and things along those lines and court congestion.
Yeah, no so bail? He can't bond out?
No, they're not going to give him bail. No judge in New York State is going to
They just let
him
a woman go for smothering her baby with her couch cushions because she was high on meth. And she gets to walk. But Dexter Taylor's got to stay in prison.
Yeah, I don't see a single appellate judge granting him bail.
But I want to have you back because we're getting ready to go into a break. I want to have you back,
sure.
Vinu. But really quickly, what does Dexter need right now? What do you need for this case?
He needs support. I mean, the process is long, it's lengthy, it's expensive. So, you know, if people just word talking about Dexter, and support, the financial support.
His gives and go. I also had people ask me, can they send him money in prison?
Yeah, I mean, they can look him up on the New York City Department of Corrections website. Yeah,
I had a lot of people ask me that.
The gives and go is much more important.
Okay.
Yeah, the gives and go is much more important. They didn't need to send him. His family can take care of his commissary and his toiletries and things like that.
Okay.
It won't be a large amount of money, but really the legal is
incredibly important because this is going to be costly. Vinu, yep. I would definitely love to have you back. We're so grateful that you're taking on this case and you're leading this fight, because this is going to affect everyone. And guns are just a variable. This is a legal formula that could be applied to a number of different rights. So we're very grateful for you for taking part in taking this case on. And we'd love to have you back. Vinu Varghese, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Absolutely. And folks, we're going to continue following this case as well. And we'll make sure that you have not only the gives and go. He says it is more important, but also for his commissary. Get that as well.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Kane just reminded me we should have played I Eat Cannibals by Total Cello.
Total Coelho.
Coelho or Cielo, whatever. But that song, that's an old song. Man, we should have played that. I literally have that on a playlist somewhere. All right, before I rob you of time, sorry, real quick, today in stupidity. Ooh,
it is our president of these United States. What? He said something stupid. Juan, go ahead.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes. Freedom over democracy.
What? And that's America?
As you said, doesn't one?
Right. One begets the other. And why do they have to be exclusive? Like mutually exclusive?
I don't know.
It's weird.
I don't know. All right, folks. I make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. There's a lot of really good pieces coming out later today and tomorrow. You can find it again at Substack, Chapter and Verse. It's a link is in all my socials. Find us on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. Like and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.